School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name's Justin Deering. I'm a communications specialist for CISO Communications, and I'm super excited about this February 15th episode. If you recall the last three seasons on this episode, we kind of take a step back and do something a little bit more fun. In the past, we've brought you interviews with our children, with our spouses, a full campaign breakdown of kids superintendent a couple years ago, all kinds of fun things. This episode today, though, is just a moment for us to step back and reflect on just how unique and wonderful the school PR community is. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with a recently named INSPRA 35 Under 35 member who is just a light in school PR, who is very encouraging and is always involved and super fun to talk to. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation and thanks for being here.
Hello, this is Dr. Jill from Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, reporting, and archiving easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact Jill at classintercom.com or visit classintercom.com.
All right, welcome back into another episode of School PR Happy Hour, guys. We are so excited. It's the Valentine's episode. If you know the history of the Valentine's episode, it's always a fun one. We kind of steer away from professional development and kind of go into a different route. This year, we really want to talk about just how great you guys are and how great the school PR community is with helping each other and the good work we're doing for students. And I'm excited to bring in one of my Peloton friends and one of my friends from Twitter that we interact with and just kind of know a lot of things that are going on. Elisha Seals, how are you doing? Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So let's just dive into it like we normally do. And I would love to hear your story about how you got to the position you're at and talk a little bit about your district and kind of what your role is there.
Yeah, so I have an interesting journey how I got here. I have a bachelor's degree in photography and art history and ended up in a small town in Kansas. And there was a marketing position open, and I just had the right skill set, was lucky enough to kind of be in the right place at the right time, and became the director of marketing for a large bank in Southeast Kansas. And I loved it. I enjoyed the work. I enjoyed the creativity. But I was missing this little piece where I actually felt like I was directly helping people. So I knew that I was proud of the work I was doing. I knew it was good work. It was quality, and I could enjoy it for that reason, but I wasn't like a loan officer that was like meeting customers and really helping them. And this job popped up on my Facebook feed, and I was like, this exists. This is a job. I could do what I'm doing for the bank, but in education. And I really was shocked that this job was a thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like once people ask me what I do and I explain it, they're a little shocked too, but applied, ended up over here. In that process, I also got my master's in communications, and then I have now a second master's in career and technical education. My role at the school district is public information director, and I'm a one-person show, which is interesting with over 3,000 students, but never a dull moment.
My background is CTE as well. I was a CTE teacher before I went into the administration office, and I taught video production, radio broadcasting, podcasting, all that thing. And they called and said, hey, we want you to come be our video guy at the district and tell all the school stories, not just yours. And I think my same thought was, that exists? Like, you'll pay me more than you're paying me now? I will take it. So that's cool. I didn't know you had a CT background. So that's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a fluke thing. And I believe in timing. It all worked out. And I was like, okay, heck yeah. If the door opens, I'm walking through it. And that's what happened. And that's how I got here.
That's cool. That's kind of the same thing with me. I actually took over the classroom for my high school video teacher. And then he went into admin to do the communications job. And then he got a job at a different district 5 years after I started teaching. And he was like, you want my job again? And I was like, yes, I would love it. So
keep getting cooler and cooler jobs. So I'm just going to keep
following you wherever you go. And you just, when you're done there, you tell him Justin's ready. So, well, another big thing that happened last week, and congratulations on this. I do want to talk about it. You were named to this year's INSPRIS 35 under 35 class. I was named two or three classes ago back when I was under 35. And I think they announced it and 2 days later I turned 36. So I timed out pretty quick, but you know, this is an award that is recognition that's given based on nominations from your peers. So it's the people who know you and see the work you're doing, respect the work you're doing, nominate you, write really nice things about you. So from that aspect of it, knowing that it's your friends and your peers that nominated you, what's that mean to you to know that there's people out there that truly do respect the work and see the hard work you're doing?
Yeah, I get really emotional when I talk about this one. There's a lot of different achievable things in school PR, you know, gold medallions and things like that. And you can be so proud of that work, but there's something really just meaningful about the fact that I didn't put myself in the hat for this one. I had two incredible people who nominated me, and hearing that I was just really overwhelmed with that emotion of like someone sees it. Cause you know, we really do often put all that thought into that timing of the music with the video and all the thought into every post. And sometimes you just wonder like, are people seeing that extra effort or is it a waste of energy? And it's really easy to get kind of caught in that idea of like, no one cares if the kid raising his hands lines up with the up in the music. And that's just a recent example, but it was just really, really moving to see that. And people that I respect, you know, just have them say, hey, we want to elevate you here. It just adds another layer of like, just that wow of, I'm just overwhelmed a little bit with emotion thinking about it. It's a big honor.
Well, good. Congratulations. It's awesome. And like, I know, same thing with me. Going back to your first answer, when you said, I know that I need to be in a job that's making some sort of impactful change. So whether that's in a district in my current role with CISO, or still working directly with districts and helping them with messaging and different things we're doing for them. There was a time when I left education for the summer. I like took the whole summer off and went and worked another job for 3 months and immediately knew I can go, like you said, photography, video, I've got the skills, but doing it for, this was for on actually like a gun accessory company, which
random. Okay.
Now I'm like, whoo, why did I do that? But
dodge a bullet. Bad timing.
But I knew immediately it wasn't the impact that I wanted to have. And then coming back and then getting into the admin building and starting to learn the communication side, the strategy side, and really seeing how, like you said, the music in a video is purposeful. The design of a graphic design, the writing we do in crisis, there's a reason behind everything. And I know there's multiple times I've sat back and be like, man, no one even notices this. I watch the video and I'm like, I did that for this reason. And my wife's like, I didn't even notice, you know. But to know that there's people out there that recognized it and nominated you and pushed you through to this, that's awesome. And congratulations. The class is stacked. I look at the list of people you're on there with and it is it's a lot of really big names and really cool. Like a lot of my friends are on there and it's fun to watch people that deserve the recognition, get the recognition they get. So congratulations. I'm excited. Thank I got you. To talk to you like 3 days after they announced it. I immediately texted you.
Rapid.
So like I said, today's episode is all about, I think when I texted you, I said, this one's all just about good vibes. Let's just make people feel real good about the job they're doing. You said, that's my bag. Let's go. So let's just start at the top. Let's start with the school PR community. And in your thoughts and your experience with the school PR community, what makes us so different? What makes the school PR community so great? And just why do you enjoy working within this community so much?
I go back to my first CANSPRA. I'm in Kansas, so I'm in our state is CANSPRA. And I had been doing this job March to October with really no networking. A few people had reached out, you should join this CANSPRA thing. And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. And just kind of, I was just trying to grind. And I went to this conference, and the last day I went to say goodbye to the current president, and I just started crying. And she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, here's the deal. I didn't know that there were other people who knew exactly how this felt.
Right.
This job that just, it really does take so much heart to do this work. And it can be really isolating. And the thing about in a district where everyone else is doing something completely different than what you're doing, the thing about the hashtag school PR group is once I found it, it was absolutely life changing. It really was. I could reach out. Someone else has already done this. Someone mm-hmm. else has already faced this issue, or a positive thing. You know, I have this cool idea. Has someone else already learned from this, or what can we do together? And something that's really cool that's happening is all of these districts, there's this competitive spirit because we all want to be our own best,
right?
But there isn't this like against each other. It's all about, it's an all boats rise. It's all about if I can elevate my neighbor, then we all do better. And that's just such a unique competitive nature. I'm like, oh, I can stay in this vibe here. Right. Like I like this space. So yeah, it's been a pretty incredible community.
I've always compared the school PR community, and this is kind of a weird example, but I was a powerlifter in high school, and we'd go to these powerlifting meets, and yeah, I want to win the powerlifting meet, but I'll be real honest, if my best friend, who's also my biggest rival, is about to try to squat 600 pounds, you better believe I'm going to be high-fiving him when he's done, because that's real cool.
Yeah, you're just as hype in the corner.
Yeah, so it is that kind of group, and it's a family group. It's a group that, you know, when you have those times where, hey, this is a tough issue, and I don't know what to do, mm-hmm. you'll have 15, 20, 30 people come out of the woodworks back, here's what happened here, here's how we dealt with it.
Yeah.
Or those good things. When good things happen, hey, that was great. We're going to steal that kind of thing. So I look back at, you know, my journey through school PR, and I guess it was probably, you know, at this point, it was 3.5, almost 4 years ago, my dad passed away. And whenever it happened, I don't know who it was, but someone scheduled, like made a spreadsheet and said, hey, pick a day, check on Justin for 30 days. And every day I got a text message or an email or a Twitter message or something, say, hey, are you good? What do you need? For 30 days. And I remember thinking, I'm not that important. Like, I'm like, I think at that point I was a year into school PR, or maybe a year.
You are that important though, just to be clear.
Well, but thank you. Ahead. I appreciate it. But it was one of those moments where I was like, man, this is different. Like teachers have each other's back, but this is different. So I just love the community and like the small groups, the little small groups that have spun off from it. And, you know, as goofy as the name is, we have the Pillow Pals, I think is the name of the Twitter group we're all in, where we talk about.
So. We should think about renaming that group.
But
we'll brainstorm that after this call.
Yeah, we get in there and we start talking about like what rides and hey, if you want to get on Saturday and just encouraging. And then you've got different groups that already are planning meetups before Inspira. I just think it's great, the friendships that are built out of it and the opportunities you have to grow, not just in your craft, but as a person. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's probably, I mean, there are people I met at Inspira, which was just like Christmas for me, because it was like, I would see them in person and I was like, oh, you're real. Like, it was just such a cool, these people who have been supporting me for 2 years now, and we've been talking, and I got to see them in person. It was such I felt like a little fangirl, because these people who I've been looking up to, they're not in a little circle or square or whatever shape your profile picture is now on Twitter, but it was just really incredible. And they were just as excited to see, like you said, little old me. Like, it just felt just so reciprocal, and it's a unique community. I've been in athletics, I've been in marketing, I mean, just different groups for years, and there's something really special about this group of people.
Well, I'll say this. I know we weren't going to get into PD too much on this, but when was your first INSPRA? Was it 2 years ago, you said? Or
it was Chicago.
Chicago. Awesome. So Let's talk about that. Going into Chicago, first time at INSPRA, you had a little experience at CANSPRA, but like I remember My first INSPRA walking in and I knew nobody. Only person I knew was Julie Phantom, which honestly was probably the smartest person to know there because I knew everybody by the time I left.
Yeah.
But when you went into that first INSPRA and didn't really know a ton of folks, you knew them through Twitter, it's a little overwhelming. It's a little like, Oh, there's a lot of people here and I'm just, and again, this is me talking. I'm just me. This is me.
Yeah.
If you were talking to somebody, somebody's listening right now who's going to their first INSPRA this summer, what kind of advice would you give them walking into their first INSPRA or their first state chapters or state conference, just as diving in, what would your advice be?
I mean, truly remember that these are your people. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, someone else is feeling overwhelmed too. Like there's not an isolated emotion in that room. You are supported and however you're feeling. And that was one thing that really stood out to me at INSPRA was there was an encouragement if you needed to just take a session where you went to coffee with other professionals or stayed in your room. It was encouraged. It was all about how can we fill you back up so that you can go back to your districts and feel awesome. So it was just such a positive environment. And I am a person with severe social anxiety and I'm pretty open about that. And I had that kind of like, I'm excited, but also like, ooh, you know, that awful gut feeling. And it's just the idea of like looking over to your left and realizing like this is me, but somewhere else. These are my people and they're going to understand all of the things that you're feeling in that moment. I mean, it's just such a welcoming environment. And I would say at the same time of like knowing when you need to take a break and do things like that, there's also just so much knowledge in the room. There's so many times when I would go into a session and the speaker was incredible, but man, did I get a nugget from the person sitting next to me. And I'm like rapidly writing it down and putting that in my pocket for later because these people are just incredible. And like, I get to sit in the same room as all of these people. What an honor. I think that's the big thing. And eat good food. Find good restaurants.
Yes, that's always key. That's like one or two on all. Every time INSPRA announces, we're like, all right, let's go ahead and plan which restaurants, start calling people we know there. So yeah, that's a big one.
The day-to-day work in school PR can be overwhelming. From developing content to writing communications for your campuses, there are often not enough hours in the day to do all the work. Projects are constantly coming at us from all corners of the districts that we serve. We need to find ways to work smarter, not harder. My name is Kara Zachney, and I'm a design specialist at CISO Communications, and this is your CISO top tip for this episode. The first step to working smarter, not harder, is to make sure that all of these projects, content needs, and everything else you're working on lines up with your strategic communication plan. If it doesn't, then it may not need to be a priority. If you don't have a strategic communications plan, holler at us. CISO can help with that. For all my content creators out there, one simple way to get ahead of the game is to plan your semester, or if you're brave, the entire year in a content calendar. There are events, holidays, and other occurrences that happen every year. Set aside a day in the next month or so to create the look and feel of your 2023-2024 content and batch create all the things. Just think about going into a new school year with all of your holidays, staff development days, and recognition days all designed ahead of time. How much time does that open up to go and create amazing stories about the great things happening in your classrooms? Start with a content calendar and then be intentional about blocking off time this year to prepare for a successful next year. At CISO, we partner with districts to strategically approach day-to-day communications. If your district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. Visit thecso.com and connect with us. You can also follow us on our social channels at CISO comms. Let us help you rethink possible.
So I do want to give you an opportunity to, and I didn't tell you this pre-show, so congratulations. Here comes a twist. We're all doing really important work. We're all doing important work that's impactful for students. And a lot of times we don't take a second to brag on some of the work we're doing as we say, hey, neighboring district, you did great on this campaign. What is something that you've done this school year or in your time in your district that you are super proud of that you know was a great project?
I actually have two, both of them about the same time. So in January of 2022, I passed with a team of people. We passed a bond at 81% approval, which is just, I cried when we passed it. I also was like, I get to sleep.
Yeah, that's another part of it. It was a ton of work.
Yeah. So that was a pretty incredible thing. And it was a journey. We had a lot of opposition and just more misinformation than opposition. And it was a lot of work in just being consistent in our message and making sure people understood what we were actually going to do in the project. So I was really, really proud of that work. And then to have that large of amount of approval is just very rare that you can tangibly see something like that. So that literally voting on whether it was good or not, that was really right. Cool. And then in July, we launched our new website. And that was something that they actually hired me to do. And this was year three, and we're finally getting to do it. So yeah, we launched a brand new website in July, and I love it. I'm very proud of what it turned out to be. And sometimes I just look at it.
And you should, because in my roles in multiple districts, I was never, I updated the web, but I was never the person behind it. Like, I was never the designer, the person who came up with it. And now in this new role, I'm getting to see that from the back end. And it's a work. It is heavy work to go through and figure out what that user journey looks like and make it, friendly to the user and not something hard to do. So props on your new website. I did want to give you an opportunity to brag a little bit about some good work you're doing. So I will check your website.
I am blushing. That was cool. Thank you. But also I'm going to crawl under the table now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, and you've mentioned it a couple times about when you're at InSprint, they encourage you take a break, step back, refresh, rebuild, get back to you, get back to center. We've always talked a little bit about the Peloton group. And then, as of recently, we've had quite a few conversations on Twitter about reading and what we're reading and what we're using to learn. So let's start with just in general, when you feel it's getting too heavy, when things are getting too much, how do you unplug? What's your routine to unplug and take a break? What does that look like for you?
I am lucky enough to live two blocks away from my house. So I have three very cute dogs. And one of the luxuries of this job is that I don't have students waiting on me. And so I encourage you to take a drive around the block. I go home and just pet very cute dogs and then have a hard time leaving because they're so cute and they give you the big eyes, where are you going?
Yeah, why are you leaving?
They're so cute. I do think it's important, whether it's go grab a cup of coffee or just take a walk around the building, to step away. Because there's that perspective that it provides, just taking a breath, stepping away, give a colleague a call someone who's nowhere near your area and say, I need to have a discreet conversation and I just need to tell you what just happened, or I am stuck on this problem and I don't necessarily need you to solve it, but I need a sounding board. And it's helpful when it's not someone in your district as well, because they can be like, oh, hey, we already did this, or I feel you. I don't have a solution, but I know this feeling. So that's been really helpful. And for me, I've also been working really hard on creating what some people would probably call virtual business hours, where the job has to stop at some point. If it's not crisis communication, then for your own sanity and longevity, to really, truly step away, because there is no comment that won't be removed automatically that needs to be addressed at 9 p.m.
Right.
It will be there at 8 a.m. It will. I promise it'll be there at 8 a.m.
And if it's so important that it needs it, someone will pick up a phone and call you and say, hey, I am learning that, especially shifting from district to home. I mean, my living room is 5 feet that way, and we had ice days for 5 days last week or 2 weeks ago, and I could hear my daughter and my wife in there. They're both, you know, my wife's assistant principal, daughter's obviously in school, watching movies, and I'm working, and she came, she's like, Justin, it's six. I'm like, you're right. Shut it down. Let's go. So I'm learning it from a different angle now, and I think setting up those boundaries is very important. One thing that I started doing is when I came home from work, like you said, going for a walk, when I came home to work from home, I found the first month that I would get up, send the kid to school, and then sit on the couch for 2 hours before I started working because it was still quite early because she has to be there so early. And that wasn't productive or healthy for me. So I forced myself to start walking the same amount of time I drove to work every day. I used to drive 37 minutes to work. So I would set a 37-minute timer and walk my neighborhood for 37 minutes every morning before, and then I could go to work. I could stop and get coffee when I got home and go to work. So I need to get that back up. It's just been really cold here in Texas, shockingly.
That's hard. Listen, don't talk to me about being cold, but also I feel you. But I live in Kansas, so and I'm sure our northern friends are laughing at us right now that we think we know what cold is. But I do think that's so important, though, is just like taking. They talk a lot about walks being such a good mental health break, but whatever it is for you, it doesn't have to be. I mean, physical activity makes a huge difference. Check the science, people. At least do a walk if you can. But there's something about genuinely stepping away. And you get to come back and you might all of a sudden be like, there it is. It's fixed. It's solved. It's going to be so much better now. Mm-hmm. And had you stayed and grinded, I think you would find that you're going to, maybe you push out a video or something and you're like, great, it's done. When if you had you stepped away, you would have been like, I get to hit post. And it does genuinely, you end up being a better employee, a better producer of all the things because you took the time to not work.
Yes. That's something. And you know, my wife's, I said, first year AP, she's trying to learn that right now. Cause there is no time to not work. It feels like for her. And I just, we're encouraging each other to get outside, walk around, go on hikes, you know, put the computer up. We go to my daughter's basketball games, the best part of the week. I coach. She sits and yells from the stands at the coach because the coach is horrible.
She coaches,
But, you know, it's just time away from the laptop, away from the phone. That's our time. We're working on that. And then, honestly, I have never before 2022 considered myself a reader. But my wife, who is a former English teacher, was like, if you can read, that makes you a reader. And I'm just like, okay, don't. Talk to me like your students, but I appreciate it. So, I started a thing last year almost for accountability for myself where I just kept adding to my list of books I read all year. And I actually read 12 books for the first time in my life. I read one a month. And now we're doing it again this year. And I know we've talked a little bit recently, so I'm just going to simply ask, what are you reading right now?
Great question. I just finished, That's Mental, which Google that before you listen to it, because if it's not your vibe, it's not your vibe, but I loved it. It's explicit, listeners. It's a very explicit book, but it's wonderful. And then I have tried to finish Braving the Wilderness. What's the new Brené Brown book? Oh,
Atlas
no.
Atlas of the Heart. Yes.
I've listened to Braving the Wilderness so many times. So it's something that I pull out often, but I have started Atlas of the Heart multiple times and just not committed. I think not because it's not wonderful, but there's something about it that is, I've resisted it. So I've committed to starting it and finishing it.
It's
go around.
It's like reading an encyclopedia. I mean, it's very, it's heavy. And for me, I have made no, I'm not shy about it at all that Brené Brown is probably one of my therapists, I'm cool with that. But when I read this book, it was eye-opening to the language that once I read it, I understood if I have family members with anxiety or anything like that, or even my daughter who shows some social things coming out of COVID, I was like, that is this. And my wife's like, whoa, that's a therapy word. How do you know that? And I was like, because I read a book. And she's like, well, I'm proud
reading.
Of you.
Yeah.
So it is great.
I'm excited to get through it.
Well, I love the fact that you're sharing what you're reading, because I am pulling stuff off your list that I want to look at. So I'm going to check out.
I have purchased every book you've posted. They're in my TBR. You are going to cost me a lot of money this year, and I appreciate it.
Well, hey, vice versa. So, well, I did want to ask you the normal question we ask before we leave, just because I always find encouragement in this as well. We do this for the kids, and at one point in time, we were a kid. So is there a teacher, administrator, or someone in your educational journey that just left a lasting impact on you that kind of led you to where you are today?
Yeah, my freshman year of high school, I was failing a lot of classes, and I had a social studies teacher who just kind of sat me down and was like, one, you shouldn't be failing my class. What's going on? And it was really just a matter of me deciding to do the work. And he had a really heart-to-heart conversation with me. And I remember him saying this. I asked him if he remembered it. He does not, but I swear it happened. He asked me, he told me that it was a time where I got to decide what type of person I wanted to be. And he said, the type of person who fights for themselves or the type of person who gives up. And I get, I'm getting a little emotional thinking about it, because it was like really a pivotal moment for me. And then fast forward to a girl who was failing high school to a girl who's graduating with honors with a master's degree. You know, it's such a pivotal moment for me. And had he not said, stopped and looked at the whole picture and just really interrupted my path, I genuinely don't think that I would be the person I am today. So that's, I mean, years and years ago, but I still think about that. And I recall it in moments of integrity when I really have to think about what kind of person do I want to be. And I go right back to sitting in that awful, you know, those old metal desks,
you know, it's just, where you popped your back,
your knees. You know, it's such a grounding memory for me. And I still align to that question. What, you know, what kind of person do you want to be? And I think we get to decide that so often at big pivotal moments and little moments. I talk to kids a lot about that. Like picking up litter is a little moment. And then there's big moments. And my sixth graders are tired of hearing about it. But I think that they are sixth graders, so they're going to roll their eyes. But yeah, that was it for me. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, well, it got me not to go back to a competition program. And that was like, I achieved it something, and I was like, wait, I can do things? And here we are.
Here we are. Well, not to go back to books, but that's very James, I just went blank, Atomic Habits. That's very Atomic Habits, making a small change. And that's my book that I pull every year and read every year because during the summer. But thanks for sharing that. And thanks for being vulnerable enough to, you know, talk, you know, not everybody wants to talk about freshman year being tough. So I appreciate that. And thank you for doing that. Yeah. And just thanks for being you and coming on and being so positive. And just, you know, this is, like I said, different episode than we normally do. It's honestly probably my favorite one we do. And I always call it every year from Erin, so she doesn't get to do it. But thank you for coming on. And again, I'm sure we will talk Peloton. I'm sure we'll talk books. Like I said earlier, don't go look at my current workouts because they're all sleep meditations. But at least I'm doing something. So thank you.
Everything is progress, even rest.
Well, there you have it, another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I want to thank Elisha for coming on today and talking about just her excitement for her job and what she's doing, and also congratulate her one more time for being named Inspire's 35 Under 35. Hey, we're still planning out the rest of Season 4, so if you have a hot topic you want to hear about or somebody we need to interview, be sure to reach out to us on Twitter at SPR Happy Hour. And as Erin always says, let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.